Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Tonight, we're going to be looking at how to forgive. I don't know how many saw the Facebook Live this morning. You can go once again to Beauty for Ashes or Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes and find that. But I told the story of how God taught me why God doesn't stop bad things, you know. And a lot of people want to know, that's like this big secret question. Why did God allow that to happen? And there actually is a reason for that. So I encourage you to go and look that up. It's going to help you get free from bitterness. And you're like, you can't leave us thinking about this. All right, so I'll tell you why really quickly, okay? But if you want to see the bigger story about that, go check us out at Facebook Live. And the actual title of that segment is called Why Did God Allow This Young Girl to Be Molested? And because she was asking the Lord, please don't let this happen. She was just a small girl. And because people think that God allowed it, it causes bitterness. It causes us to be angry with God. And so it's really, really hard to walk in forgiveness. It's really hard to trust God ever again. And so I'll just tell this quickly, because actually I can teach the forgiveness part pretty quickly. What happened is years and years ago, before I remember telling the Lord, I don't believe in inner healing or healing. Since then I learned it's called healing the brokenhearted. And of course I believe in that because it's in Luke chapter 4. And I believe anything that's in the Bible, amen? But at the time I just started having this vision, and I saw this lady came to me, and her father had just gotten saved, and her father seriously asked her to forgive him. And not very many people who've been molested or hurt or beaten or wounded ever have the predator come back and say, please forgive me. But her father really did come and say, please forgive me. And she did forgive him as best that she could. And they had a good relationship. And she saw the difference. He went to church. He was all about Jesus. And she really, really saw a changed person. But when she came to talk to me, she said, but I still have something that's holding on to it. And when we talked, she said, actually, I don't understand why God allowed it to happen. I don't understand why God didn't stop it. And she would tell me about, you know, I was a young kid, and I remember my dad would take, well, actually, I had the vision before she told me all that. So while she's speaking, I'm saying to God, you know, Lord, what am I to tell her? Like, why? You know, when somebody says, why did that happen after they're asking you to not let it happen? You know, why did it still happen? And so all of a sudden I went into a vision, and I shared this on the Facebook Live. There's two different types of visions. There's an open vision. If you go to our teaching on the web at beautyfreshes.org called The Spiritual Side of Tragedy, I'll tell you, or if you get my book, Joy Comes in the Morning, you'll hear about an open vision I have. And that's like you see it with your eyes. It's amazing. I mean, when I saw my daughter in heaven with Jesus, the colors were unbelievable. He is gorgeous. And my daughter was beautiful and is so full of life. It's just amazing. And you just see it with your natural eyes and you're like extremely overwhelmed. But when you have spiritual eyes, the Bible says we have spiritual mind, we have spiritual eyes. So when I have a vision with my spiritual eyes, it's more like what would be in the natural or even can go over into the demonic is a daydream. It's like you're thinking things going in your head. It's almost like a movie going on in your head, but you're not literally seeing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when the Lord began to give me this vision, it was with spiritual eyes. And so all of a sudden it was spiritual eyes. And when you get that kind of vision, how do you know that it's a spiritual vision coming from God? Because when you go to describe it, it seems so real. Like when you start to describe it in the anointing, then you get more and more detail, more and more detail. And anyone who hears you describing it would say, wow, you know, you really saw that. And so really you're seeing it with spiritual eyes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I like to teach a little bit of everything when I'm doing this. And so So this was with spiritual eyes, not an open vision with spiritual eyes, which is more like it happens in our imaginations, but it's not the imagination you cast down. Those are the ones that come from the flesh or the enemy. But you this is an imagination you hang on to, and it's called a vision, okay? And so I saw this little girl. She was about the age of, this is a long time ago, and I'm not a detailed person, but I'm believing you can go find it somewhere on a teaching, I'm sure. But she was between the ages of 5 and 7. I'm not positive what it was. And I saw her in a white nightgown. It was a flannel white nightgown. And the Lord showed me an interpretation. The white represented she was innocent. She was completely innocent. And so when anyone goes through being sexually abused or molested by a predator, no matter how, as you mature and you could have said something or you could have done something or you could have changed things, no, you were innocent. You were set up by the enemy to be confused. You were set up by the enemy to not know how to respond. You were set up by the enemy to have perverted pleasure, if it's molestation, open to you, which causes a lot of confusion, or the desire for attention, or some of the things that are so perverted in there are things that somehow some people thought were okay or liked, and therefore Satan puts guilt on you for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the Lord's like, no, you're completely innocent. When a predator comes and attacks you, then the enemy's working in them strategically to destroy you, to destroy your self-esteem, to destroy your personhood, to destroy your love for God, to just destroy your relationship and the capability of having relationships. And so it's a very horrific scheme of the enemy, and how many know it's very widespread in the world, but in America. Amen? And it really does damage people. And people who've never had that happen, I'm a person who's never had that happen, I thank God for that, but you can't really understand how deep that pain goes until you really start to minister to somebody. It's not like a one-time thing and you get over it. You can only really get over it by the blood of Jesus. Amen? And so, especially if it's something as horrific as, you know, your own parent or guardian or somebody who should be protecting you. And so for this person in the vision, she's all in white. And the Lord just wants me to tell you that, you know, you were innocent. You need to, it doesn't matter the things you took in that you could have changed or controlled. You were strategically set up to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, yes, you may have to forgive yourself and you're going to have to let God heal and deliver you from some things. But God wants you to know when there's a predator who is out to set you up, you are, as far as you are in white, you're innocent of this thing. And you need to see that because the guilt that the enemy wraps around that kind of abuse is horrific. Same with even verbal abuse. If you didn't do this, you deserve this. All that kind of thing is abusive manipulation that the enemy uses in somebody to make the person feel guilty or ashamed. And so that's this, you know, breaking out of it, which that was a good timing with what's going on in our society right now in the papers. So anyway, so I saw this little girl going down the hallway. Now, when God gives me, and most people who really move in the gifts of the Spirit, it's kind of like a walk in faith. So you do not know what he's showing you, and you're kind of getting it when you're getting it. And it takes a lot of faith to walk out and start speaking things that God's showing you in front of other people when you don't have the conclusion yet. Amen? How many know if you don't begin to step out in faith, you're not going to get any increase. You're not going to be able to move in the prophetic. You're not going to move in gifts and signs and wonders and all the things that God is calling us to because you do not step out. Everybody's, well, when God shows me the whole picture, well, you know, okay, then do nothing with your life that glorifies God. That's up to you. Because God is a God of faith. He's always a God of faith. He'll remain a God of faith. And that's who he is. And that's how he operates. And he's not going to change because you want him to be a God of your reasoning. Amen? So I saw this little girl. And I see her like just looking up, like saying, God, please don't let him do this. Please don't let him do this. Please don't let him do this. And I could tell in the vision that it wasn't the first time. And so they get to this door. And I knew in this vision that behind that door is where her father would molest her. And I just knew it was the father because she had already been talking to me about the situation. And so she's outside the door and everything in her heart is, God, please don't let him take me back there. Please stop this. And anyone who's been in a situation of any kind of abuse who cried out to God, even if you didn't know him, she didn't know God, but she cried out to whoever it was who could help her. Amen? And that feeling of fear, and that feeling of I can't trust this God who did not prevent this or stop this. And so I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, the girl, the lady now is boohoo crying. The hurt place in her, the child place in her that was wounded, that needed the healing, which is why she couldn't get past it, was up at the surface. So I have this person up at the surface just really crying and wailing. And so just remember, when God's ministers this stuff, people really need to hear it. People really need to hear it. And don't be a distraction. Don't let the enemy use you to distract people who need to hear what God's saying. Because Satan will use everything he can to stop people from getting free. And there's people that are in this room who really need to hear some of this. Actually, probably everybody. And people who need to really recognize, you know, I'm going to wait till after church or wait till another time. But, you know, especially on this hour, for 1 hour on Tuesdays, it's really important that this kind of teaching goes forth. And that we can really help people get free. And so, and just out of pure, to me, it's out of pure respect for what God wants to do in the place and for people who have walked through this, who might be sitting by you or near you, that we all come in agreement. If we've never been molested, praise God, amen. If I had people raise their hand in this room, it'd be less that haven't been molested than have been molested. And so thank God for those who haven't been. But how about if we all learn to walk in the kind of love and respect to those who have been, that they can get healed and free and also help others get free. And so, and we all need to know this. We all need to know how to help people. And we all need the answer to why this stuff happens. So as this person is gets to that room in the vision, I see them go in the room and the door closes. And at that part, I don't see them anymore. And I know in my heart, you know, and this woman is just crying now, like almost reliving it, crying. And I'm just talking to God, like, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And this woman's going, why? Why did God allow that? Why did God not stop that? Why? And I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, that's a really good question. Don't bring me this far into this and not give me a why. I mean, I've been in situations, healing the brokenhearted, other situations we'll talk about some other time, where we get to a certain place and it's like, Lord, if you don't come through with an answer, I've got a situation where somebody's hurt place is at the very surface and they're reliving things that they need to be healed from. And how many know he always comes through? How many know God loves to put us to that very edge of death to self? Amen? So we have to trust him and walk out. And let me just say, more people need to move in this, folks. More people need to move in healing the brokenhearted. More people need the supernatural gifting of God to go to these places and move into this and not just give nice words. Amen? We need, if God has a gift that goes in deeps and heals people, we need to all cry out that we could operate in that gift. Amen? The world needs the church, and the church needs the church so that we can go and minister to the world. Because this is not a little tiny isolated thing that happens once in a while. And so I'm sitting there, Lord, what's going on? And he's not telling me. And this woman is, you know, really boohoo crying like a child. It's just like a really hurt, wounded child. And all of a sudden I see, and a lot of you have heard this before, but I see blood. Well, that's really strange to see blood dripping on somebody in a white nightgown, you know, like, okay, Lord, this is not what I want to see. And so I look closer in the vision, and it's the nail, it's the feet of Jesus is right above her head, and the nail is through his feet, and it's his blood. And the Lord says to me, my blood has covered this. And then he began to give me the answer. And so what is the answer as to why does Jesus not stop? Why does God not stop this horrific evil from happening to people? And the reason is because God is true to his word, and he's true to his spiritual laws, and he has given mankind free will. We're made in the image and the likeness of God, every single human being, which means we have a free will choice to obey or not obey. Now, if this young girl had known God and known his ways, which nobody's expecting that, this isn't about judging. Wouldn't you like, just because you missed it before, wouldn't it be nice to know that you can have faith that you can be safe now? Just because you were sick before, do you think now you can't trust God as you get into his word to be healed? Amen? Okay, so don't you want to get to a place where you can walk in confidence in your relationship with God and who he is and what he teaches to know? You know what? I don't want to ever be tested, but if I got to bind up a devil in somebody and have it not touch me, which I've had to do before, by the way, in quite a few situations, that they freeze and they can't move. Amen? And I've seen it. I've seen it. And I don't like it. I don't want to be tested over and over. Amen. But I want to know that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're powerful. Amen. I want to know that when I bind, something is bound. And when I loose, it's loose, according to God's word. Amen. But how many know that's not something you just know in your head? And most people don't even know that. It's something you have a revelation in your heart because you walk with God, because you know God. So here's this young kid. She doesn't walk with God. She doesn't know God. She probably hasn't. I don't know if she even went to church. How many know it? We ought to start teaching our kids young, amen? And if you come to Beauty for Ashes, Sunday school class or Tuesday night ministry class, we're going to teach them. Teach them how to put on the armor. Teach them how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And as a parent, you should be teaching your children more than just cute Bible stories. Bible stories are awesome. But how about teach them how to have authority and how to really walk in God? I think if we put as much time and energy into that as we do into sports and self-defense things, we might be amazed at how many of our children would be protected in this dark age. Amen? And grandchildren, teach them how to pray. Teach them how to use the name of Jesus. Teach them how to cry out the blood of Jesus. Amen? And teach them to use wisdom. Anyway, that's another whole teaching. We'll have to have that. We're running out of time. We'll have to have that Facebook Live some other time. We'll have to do a parenting conference or something. That would be good, huh? All right, so here the Lord is to speak, and I'm speaking to this girl now. I'm like, look, Jesus went where you were forced to go, he chose to go. Where you were forced to go by a predator, where you were forced to go by somebody demon-possessed or walking in such demonic possession or whatever, where you were forced to go, Jesus chose to go. And what do you mean he chose to go there? On that cross, from the walk, from the time he was arrested, beaten, bruised, so disfigured, it said he did not look like a human being. So even the movies like The Passion, which is very hard to watch, right, because of the extreme violence against the Lord portrayed in that, that isn't even close to how bad it was. And for him to supernaturally live through that, was because God was not taking his spirit out until it was finished. Nobody dies until the spirit is released out of you. Nobody, no matter what's going on, nobody dies until your spirit leaves. And so Jesus' spirit was not leaving until the Father, what was done, and it was finished, could be uttered out of his mouth. So he endured all of that. He could have just died for our sins, but he suffered for our freedom. Here on this planet, he suffered as a victim, whoa, so you could be an overcomer. He suffered as a victim so that you could walk in the place of victorious. Amen? And we need to do that. We need to do that because not many people argue with, okay, I know I'm a sinner, I should go to hell, but I'm gonna let you be my substitute, and I'm gonna let you go to hell for me, Jesus. Thank you that you did that because I want to go to heaven, right? I know I don't deserve it, but I want to go to heaven. How many want to get this? He paid for you to be free from where you've been abused. He paid for you to be free from where culture, the society hasn't been fair to you. He's paid for you to be free where other people have come against you, even in your own family. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's paid for that. And no, it's not fair to him. It's way beyond fair. Amen? But because he paid for it, how many know we ought to receive it? How many know we ought to just receive it? But it's too good to be true. Saul is going to heaven. But it is true. Amen? But you make it sound so easy. Yeah, it's so easy because you can't do anything to earn it. And it will never, ever make sense to your brain. But he knew what he had to do. So he went through all that for iniquity. He went through that for all the sin. He went through all of that so that you would not have to ever be a victim the minute you find him, ever, not even for a second. How awesome is that? How much does he want us to overcome? Completely. We glorify God when we overcome. And so he was showing me in this vision that this, what he took on the cross, he took the shame. They disrobed him. They beat him publicly. believe me, nudity was not a big, was a very big deal back in that day in history. Not, maybe not so much in some of the places when you watch television all now, which is horrific. But back in that, they humiliated him by publicly killing him and putting him on a place where traffic would come and go to see him. So he chose to be shamed. He chose, and he became sin, which means every demonic spirit, get this, every demonic spirit, remember, these demons know him. Okay, these demons know him. And there's scripture where they say, Jesus, Jesus, why are you here now? This is before our time. They know him. And here, they actually think that they've won. They actually think, wow, we killed him. We put him on the cross. They have no idea the big plan. Amen? And every demonic spirit gets to come and attack him. There's not a spirit that has ever attacked you that did not attack Christ Jesus. And Jesus allowed it. He allowed it. He chose to go where you were forced to go. For one reason, to heal you. To heal you. And that's why when we get into the teaching on forgiveness in a few minutes, there is no excuse for not forgiving. God will not allow you to get into heaven with unforgiveness in your heart because of the price that he chose to pay by watching his son suffer. And the Father and the Son are one. We're not going to get into all that. But Jesus, God himself, suffering for you at the hands of your enemy. Remember, he's already defeated as far as God's concerned. He's your enemy. He's really no longer the enemy. He is a defeated foe to Jesus. Amen? But he's your enemy. He's my enemy. And in Christ, we overcome him. Amen? Jesus came to undo his works. This was part of undoing the works of you staying in shame, of you feeling like you can't trust anybody, of you feeling dirty, of you feeling like you can't trust God, and all these things Jesus Christ did for every person in the last 2,000 years. He took the hit for everything that would happen to us before it even happened so he could heal us. So I'm talking to this young woman, and all of a sudden she quits crying. And I'm like, will you receive? Will you sincerely forgive your father? We'll talk about that in a minute. And will you receive that healing to that hurt place in you, that little child place in you that's still full of fear, that little child place in you that still can't trust God, can't trust anybody, doesn't know what to do? Will you thank Jesus Christ for what he's done? Ask him to forgive you for blaming him. Because he made sure that there was a way of escape for every single person who would call upon his name. No matter how horrific your past was. How many know we need to get this out there and minister to people who've been trafficked, you know, in the sex trafficking stuff? We can't just go in and rescue them and give them a nice home and think everything's fine. We need to start being true ministers of healing and reconciliation. We need to walk in something that's supernatural and powerful. Amen? And I've watched this work every time. I've watched the revelations that the Father has given me about his son and about the work of the cross. I've watched it heal every single person who ever gave themselves over to that healing. But if you choose to hang on to unforgiveness and you choose to want to be the victim and you choose to somehow get some kind of need met and feeling sorry for yourself, then you're going to live this life in misery. And at some point, hopefully you'll forgive. But you can forgive and not be healed. How many like to forgive and be healed? How many would like to be like, wow, I can't even believe that's me. That doesn't hurt anymore. I can't even believe that. What somebody would say, you shall know the truth shall make you free. So if you're blaming God, then you don't have the truth. And you're going to never deeply, deeply trust him. You're always going to have what somebody had called a grudge against him, which is going to lead to what? Bitterness. And bitterness does what? Defiles many. It defiles everybody in your life. It defiles people in your path. It defiles people around you. It makes them not want to go after God. It makes them not hungry for God. It makes them not want to be who he's called them to be. Amen? And sometimes it turns people completely against God. There's not a person out there who hates God who, if they would know truth, could not find healing and forgiveness. Amen? And it's our job to be ministers of reconciliation and help people walk into that healing, help people get free, open up their hearts, their ears, their spiritual eyes, and say, God, I want this, and I'm going to grab this. And so, see, it's just like salvation. What did you do to get saved? You believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth. So you have to believe in your heart that what Jesus did on that cross to bring healing to you and to take your shame is real. There's got to be this knowing in your spirit. Yeah, wow, there is hope. I don't have to feel like this the rest of my life. I don't have to feel dirty the rest of my life. I don't have to feel like something's wrong with me. I don't have to feel like I can't trust God. I want to be able to. Is there anybody in here who doesn't want to really trust God? How freeing it is to trust God, to really trust him. It's so awesome to really trust God and have faith in God and watch him order your steps and make a way of escape and fix things for you. How many want a God who fixes the mess for you? Amen? How many wants a God who heals the brokenhearted? He said he came to heal the brokenhearted. If he said he came to do it and he says he's undone the works of the enemy, how many believe he's done it? He's not going to come back down and do it. He's done it. And just like we believe for everything else as believers, we believe in faith. I'm trusting that what he says is true. And you have to agree, wow, God, that was awesome that you went through that when you didn't have to. That you paid such a horrific price because you want me healed that much here on this side of heaven. Here, before I get into the physical place of heaven, you want me healed. You want me completely healed. You want me to know you and to walk with you and to be your son or to be your daughter, to grow up and mature in you. You really want that for me. You know, let me tell you, if you want to keep blaming God and hold on to stuff, you are choosing to be a victim. Somehow in your wrong thinking, somehow you might still be trying to punish God. Can I let you in on a secret? You cannot punish God because he doesn't deserve your punishment. The only person being punished when you think you're punishing God is you. And then everybody who's defiled because they're in relationship with you. And I don't think some of you realize somewhere deep in your hearts, God's just giving me this right now, by the way. We may not get into forgiveness until next week. Deep right now, there are people in this room who made an inner vow somewhere in their life, like, I'm never going to love you, God, or I'm never going to trust you, God, or I'm never, and God's in the picture. And that inner vow was a result of God not doing something the way you thought he should have when you didn't even know him or even know his ways. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You didn't have a clue at that young age. You didn't have a clue. And it's time to humble yourself and recognize, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about God then. I didn't understand him. I didn't know how awesome he was. I didn't realize how deep-rooted I had made an inner vow against God. I'm preaching this for people in this room because this is not something I've ever preached before that I know. So we're just going to close our eyes for a second. Or somebody who's watching on Facebook Live or the web stream. I got all these different places to look. I want everybody to close their eyes a minute. God wants to set people free from chains of a deep-rooted hatred. And you think, it's not really hate, it's just I'm not going to let him get but so close. So it's a punishment. It's an inner vow, not even knowing what you were talking about. As a child, you made a declaration that you were not going to completely trust God, and it was his fault. And so you don't have to be responsible for not trusting him. You'll just take care of everything yourself. And that's what I love about God. He's so awesome. And I just see him and he's got his arms open. He's showing the scars on his hands. And he's smiling. He's not angry at you. He's not angry at you as much as deep inside you're still angry at him. I see some of you like little kids, like just got your teeth clenched. Oh, I'll show you. I don't need anybody. I'll show you. You didn't answer that prayer the way I thought. You didn't do what I wanted. And it's almost like, God, I'm going to be your boss. Whoa. Wow, talk about superiority. Oh. And he's just smiling. He goes, I'm winning you with my goodness. I keep winning you with my goodness. I keep winning you with my goodness. I hear the Lord saying, you've never even seen the wrath that's going to come forth for those who do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord. I just hear the Lord saying, you just don't understand what I spared you from. I went through all of that so you would not go to eternal damnation and burn forever. I did all of that so that you could forgive. I did all of that. I went through every bit of that. I went through every bit of the cross. I went through every bit of shame. I went through every bit of humiliation. I went through every bit of being falsely accused. That's a big one. Somebody needs that. He went through every bit of being falsely accused. Oh, every bit of being falsely accused. Every bit of being falsely accused. So that you could be free. Free from that judgment of, God, I'll never trust you. Why did you let them accuse me like that? Why did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen? Even as little children, I don't understand. Only person I can depend on is myself. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I want to depend upon you. I want to be led by your Spirit. Lord, please forgive me. Even as a child and growing up, to continue that lie in my heart that somehow you did something wrong, that the way you set things up is wrong. And Lord, today I break the power in the name of Jesus of this deep-rooted grudge and bitterness and desire to punish you that the enemy put in my heart. Please forgive me. I really want to understand tonight that you really paid for every single thing that was forced upon me. Every single thing that was falsely said about me. You paid for it in a price that was greater than I could ever repay you. Forgive me for hardening my heart against you. God, soften my heart tonight. Heal that hurt place in me. Well, this is kind of wild. I had no idea we were doing this. Okay. Some of you know that God is showing you that real tough little boy or real tough little girl or real, it's almost like you see yourself with your fist up. Like, oh no. I'll let you get but so close, God, but I'm still calling the shots. Whoa. Oh, I really see this. Lord, I'll let you get so close. And if I need something really bad, God, I'll do everything by the book that I have to do to get it. But you're not going to get us so close. And you don't even realize that in your heart, you decided to be his judge. Whoa. And you decided to make separation from you his punishment. Whoa. And you've wondered, God, why? why can't you break through, God? Why can't I feel your presence? Why can't I walk in these things? Why is it just every now and then? Why do I still feel so empty? Why do I still feel a deep bitterness towards you? So if God is speaking to you, or you're seeing some of these things and you realize, wow, this is an area that I'm not completely free. Some of you, it's a major wall. Like you built a cement wall. You are going to be the boss of God. And some of you, you've had a lot of breakthrough, but there's little areas where you still kind of blamed him and tried to hold something against him. And some of you are free from this. Praise God. But if you see that wall, if you see thin walls, big walls, bars, whatever it is that you separated yourself from God by thinking totally inaccurately that you could be his judge and that you could choose his punishment of being separated from you, of not giving all yourself to him. If you see that, I want you just to close your eyes. I want everybody to close their eyes. But I want, whether it's bars or a wall or whatever it is, some of you it's just such a thin thing you can come right through and get into his presence and go right back on the other side. For some of you, I don't even get through. This is a wall. This is like, I don't even get through. Every now and then I feel a breeze over top and I cry out and I know he's faithful, but I don't get through. But I just thought it was him. Some of you, it's bars. It's like you can't get through, but you can feel his presence. You can see and hear, but there's something still in bondage inside of you. Wow. So whatever place you are in that, if you're just totally free there, then just pray for those who are watching on Facebook Live or watching on the webcast or watching on YouTube or those who are here in this room who aren't free here. And here's what I see the Lord wanting you to do. I want you to see that hurt you that's either on the other side of a wall or bars or just really thin dividers. And I want you to see yourself making the choice to ask him to forgive you. So would you say, Jesus, forgive me for blaming you for your most perfect ways, for setting up your kingdom in a way that's beyond human intelligence. Your ways are higher than my ways, and they do not include doing evil, but overcoming evil. And Lord, forgive me for thinking I could be your judge and punish you by not having a relationship with you. I know it does grieve you, but I'm the one who's been punished. And Satan's the one who set this up. And I don't want any more part of it. I want to be free. I want to be free from the wall and the bars and the dividers that always keep me back from being closer to you. Forgive me, God, for thinking somehow it was your fault that I'm not closer to you. I ask you to forgive me for that. Forgive me for agreeing with the enemy against you and your ways. Forgive me for thinking that what the enemy did was because of you, God. I want to be free from this thing. I want to be yours. I want to feel your presence. I want to walk with you and be led by your spirit. I want to be your child. I want to be your son and daughter. I want to be your beloved. I want everything that you died to give me. And I am over this lie that somehow I'm going to keep punishing you even while I'm blaming you. Forgive me, forgive me. What you paid before I was ever born to set me free from what the enemy would do in my life is more. It's more than I could ever, ever expect. It's a greater love than I ever deserved. And there's greater freedom that I now choose to walk in. And I want you to see yourself, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to see yourself either walking through the bars, actually taking the bars and pulling them back and realizing they're not that strong. Whoa! Because of who is in you is greater than those bars. Or walking around that wall and looking at the wall and saying, in Jesus' name, fall. I'm never going behind there again. And as you get on the other side of the wall, the bars of the divider, I want you to see yourself right now putting your arms around Jesus, even at the age where you decided to punish him, whoa, and you decided to judge him. Put your arms around him right now. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus that you're going to mature into that man and woman of God, that you're going to go from that young age when you first put up you as his judge, whoa, and all of a sudden as that breaks, Lord, we speak healing over every area of their life where Satan has used that lie and used that foundation of hatred and judging God in superiority, Lord, that would bust right now, and every lie that was built upon that and everything that made that bitterness deep be broken right now by the name of Jesus. The love of Jesus, the love of Jesus never fails. Perfect love. Cast out the fear. Cast out the fear that came in when you were misunderstood or accused. Cast out the fear that came in when you were abused or molested. Cast out the fear that came in when you were lied to or lied about. We just break that fear by his perfect love. And right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that those who are watching, those who are listening, those who are in this room, that the very presence of God and that perfect love would begin to saturate them in a powerful and mighty way, and healing would come. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus that every hurt place would now be made whole. And this man or woman of God will come into a wholeness and a breakthrough in their life. Whoa! Into completeness in Christ. And the double-mindedness will lose its hold and its power so that God could answer their prayers. Because the word says a double-minded man receives nothing from the Lord. So today we thank you, God, that the double-minded thing going on inside of them is broken in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you're so cool that this is not even at all close to what I was thinking we were doing tonight. Lord, we just receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. We just receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. Everyone hearing this, just open your arms. Just receive. Everybody just open and put your hands up and just like, God, I just want your presence. God, I want everybody to stand up, and I just want you to say, Jesus, I just want your presence. I just want you. I want your love. I want you to say, Jesus, I want your love. Jesus, I want your love. Lord, you're so amazing to forgive me. Lord, you're so amazing to forgive me after all the things I've thought about you, all the things I've said to others about you, all the things I've tried to do to stop people from wanting you and knowing you and loving you, all the deep-rooted lies in my heart, all the things that against you, all the things I blamed you for. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Oh, I want to be yours. Completely, absolutely yours. Father, we just thank you now as your Holy Spirit. Those who are saying this and meaning this, those who are like, God, I see it. I see it and I truly repent. I turn from that way of thinking. I turn away from blaming God. I turn away from thinking he didn't do things right. I turn away from those lies in the name of Jesus. And I embrace this magnificent, powerful, awesome God who paid the way for me to be free, who paid the way for me to be an overcomer, who paid the way for me to be more than a conqueror in him. I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against me can prosper. And I no longer agree with the enemy against my God. So Father, we just give you praise and we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for what you're doing across the nations as people begin to receive this healing and this freedom. We just give you praise, God. Thank you for breakthrough for so many people, Lord, who've cried out and gone to church for years and wonder what was holding them back. Lord, we just break these lies in the name of Jesus. And Lord, the tormenting spirits, even the spirits of addiction, of people self-medicating, huh, or taking antidepressants or anything else. And I'm not a doctor, so you do what your doctor says. But many of you go in and say things that aren't true to get the medications. And God says, stop, stop. Go and be honest with your doctors. Go and be honest with you. Those who do other things to self-medicate, those who run to evil, those who run to things to punish God, ho! Break the hold of it right now. Break the power of it right now. It's like, wow, I didn't know that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. I didn't know that's what I was doing. Breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus, and let the addiction of pornography go right now in the name of Jesus. Let the addiction to violence go right now in the name of Jesus. Let the addiction to drugs and alcohol go, even prescription drugs, right now in the name of Jesus. Let the poor me never rise up in you again in the name of Jesus. If you've been under any kind of torment, which is voices in your head speaking to you against God and against you, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every tormenting spirit, because I thought I could be the tormentor or judge of God. I have not had full authority over this tormenting spirit, and I break its hold in the name of Jesus right now, and I don't agree with it against God, and I will never agree with it again. It has no authority. I command it in the name of Jesus to loose me now, ho, and to go to the pit, ho, in Jesus' name. And I ask that it gets the punishment of Satan on Judgment Day, because it must be the worst thing that can happen to it. Father, I just see angels in this room just pulling up bitter roots. People have heard about bitter roots. They couldn't understand why they wouldn't go. They couldn't understand why there was so much bitterness and so much self-hate and so much God-hate and so much poor me. And I just see the Lord just pulling up bitter roots. I see racism being broken right now in the name of Jesus. I see those who hate it being men instead of women broken, and those who hate it being women instead of men broken. I just see all this mess that we see in our culture, all this mess we see in society that's just being stirred up by the enemy, broken right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.